This is Series 3 of Brave New You Tribe, and I'm Lou Hamilton, co-founder with Meredith Heppner Chapman of the clothing brand Brave New You. We welcome you to the stories of real-life Brave New Girls who are creatives, brand builders, entrepreneurs, health practitioners, and campaigners who have the courage to overcome challenges, push the envelope, and envision impactful possibilities for the future. This week's guest is Bok Goodall, fashion illustrator, award-winning lingerie designer, brand builder, and named Intima Media Group's Inaugural Artist of the Year in 2019. Both creative and business-minded, she co-founded the lingerie brand Miss A London, which is designed and developed for transgender women and is part of her My Size campaign for visibility and inclusivity in fashion. Welcome, Bok, to Brave New You Tribe. Hi, Bok. How are you?
Hi, Lou. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm really enjoying your glasses. They're an amazing design.
Thank you. I do love them.
I've bought some like massive glasses that I found really cheap on Instagram, because I wear really massive sunglasses, I thought, wouldn't it be, that'd be so good to have like actual normal glasses, the same great shape. So I wish I'd worn mine now because yours look fantastic.
These were sunglasses and then I had lenses put in them.
I think sunglasses tend to be better designs, don't they?
Yeah, they're always bigger, aren't they? And then once you've worn really big frames, you don't want to wear tiny frames.
That's a good tip. Thank you. I shall convert all my sunglasses now. So we're in 2021. And looking back at last year when the global pandemic hit and the whole world turned upside down, you were actually launching your brand, Miss A London. And I wonder how that panned out for you.
We weren't able to launch last year, hoping that we will launch this year because the brand's very focused to a particular customer. It's important that we carry out fittings and lots of sample runs. And these fittings have to be done in person because we're creating essentially a new sizing scale. So we hadn't been able to do the fittings, and we're hoping that this year we will now be able to get on with everything and start all the fittings and get the brand to launch. We've created the base size that I think we're happy with, and now we just need to get it out, try it on lots of other women, and you know, work out how we're doing the sizing. So hopefully this year we launch.
So hopefully lots of new starts and lots of positivity for the coming year ahead.
Hope so.
You're talking about new sizing, and it's sizing for the transgender women's fit, and I'd like to sort of go more deeply into that, but first I want to go back and find out how you came to designing, how you came to fashion, how you came to everything that you're doing today. So as a girl, was that your dream?
No, it wasn't. I wanted to be a vet, and so I was always crazy about animals. I really wanted to be a vet. I was studying all the sciences and everything at school. I went to do a work placement at a vet's office when I was about 15, maybe, and they just said she'd be useless. I was crying all the time. If anything was wrong with the animal, I was trying to steal the animals. I was a nightmare. And so they phoned my mum and said, please don't send her back. this is not her job.
That's so gutting.
I know. I was devastated, but I had not stolen, but I'd sort of rescued a dog and that was maybe going to be put anyway. So it wasn't good. So then I was like, okay, what do I do now? And I just carried on with the O levels and everything. And then I started doing A levels, and I was always really interested in art. So I was always drawing all the time. And when I was about 15, 16, I started maybe having a little rebellious phase and dyeing my hair and shaving my head. And I went to a quite strict Catholic school, and I went in with my hair blue and they sent me home. And then I went in with, you know, with it shaved, and they sent me home. And eventually it was like, you can't really come back to school. So I remember my dad saying to me, you better have a plan, you know, come up with a plan. It better be a good one. So I said, I'm going to art college. So I applied at art college to do fashion design. And that's kind of how it started. And I just loved everything about it. And so then I continued with that. I was in Leeds. I moved to London. I was studying fashion and illustration. And then I got a job in the industry, and that was it. And so I worked in fashion, had my son, and then I was continuing to just do freelance jobs. Someone asked me to design an underwear range. And I said, I've got no idea. I can't do that. And that was maybe 20 years ago, 18 years ago. And I said, I don't know how to do that. And they said, yeah, you know, all you do colors and you do all these things. So just do it. So I was like, okay. And then that was it. I've stayed in this lingerie industry since then. So it was totally accidental.
So what was the difference between fashion and lingerie then in terms of design and the challenges that you were faced as a designer with lingerie?
When I was working in fashion, I was working with designers and brands that were, I wasn't designing, they were owned by the designer. So I was doing marketing and sales and PR, everything. It was like that 90s time when London was, you know, that like we were the leading light in fashion and everyone wanted what we were doing. So it was just great fun. And I was doing anything that needed doing. And then, as I say, I had my son. So then I started doing lots of freelance things. And design jobs kept coming up, but it wasn't ever really what I thought I did. And then I just kind of fell into it. Lingerie is so much more technical. There's so much more that you need to, you know, consider when you're working with lingerie.
So with lingerie, have you always been a lover of lingerie, or was it something that, you know, you were asked to do it and then you had to kind of get your head around the whole concept of what lingerie is about and what it's for and why people wear it?
Yeah, I think I was always kind of maybe intrigued by it, liked it, you know, liked looking at it, because lingerie can be really pretty and, you know, great colours. And so I think I always really liked it, but it wasn't that it was a passion or anything. And then as I got into it, it just seemed there was a lot of fun that you could have with working in lingerie and designing lingerie. Yeah, I've just developed with it, I suppose. It was never something that I thought, oh God, I have to do this.
And has your personal enjoyment of lingerie developed then?
You shouldn't ask that because I'm the worst. Yes, it has. I always wear matching sets.
So you design for the lovers of lingerie, but not from personal desire.
No, I do love lingerie, and there are certain brands that I have designed for that I absolutely adore and wear all the time. And you know, I've got brands that I've worked with that I wear every single day. So I do love lingerie, but I'm not one of those people who's like, oh God, I need a matching set today. You know, I just like throw on whatever's there, but I've got lots. So it's usually quite fab anyway.
You sort of fell into this area of design. And was it at that point that you became aware that the trans women's community was not catered for in this particular area, or were you aware that they weren't catered for in terms of sizing and fitting across everything?
No, I think it's kind of developed over the years that I became aware of that. I have friends who are transgender and gender non-binary, and I would always give them lingerie when we had sample sales and things like that, and I would always get them loads of lingerie, and It never seemed to be an issue. And then one particular friend who I am working with now, who's one of my closest friends, I used to always say to her, oh, I'll make you something one day that really is perfect, you know, that And we've been saying it for years, and it almost became a joke that we'd go, yeah, yeah, one day we'll do that. So then last year I just said, I think we should just do this. And there are lingerie brands for transgender women, absolutely. What we're trying to do is something that's like, to start with, it's solutions-based. So it's creating shapes with your body, hiding things, adding things, you know, just creating a very feminine shape, as feminine as you want to be, as beyond feminine as you want it to be, you know. So it's about creating the shapes. When we came to create the first samples, which was 2019, I really became aware then that there was no sizing standard. So normally if I'm working with a technical team making lingerie, I'll say, I want to make this bra, and they'll say, yeah, what size should we make it? Oh, 34D. And that's it. Those sizing measurements exist. The scale exists. The grading rules exist. But for this, there was nothing that existed. So it kind of quickly became apparent that we'd have to make it. And I wanted it to fit, because physically it is a different body. You know, there are physical differences.
So the fitting that we have at the moment and trans women's bodies, what's the gap? What's the body shape that we're not catering for?
Well, you know, there are definite differences, you know, wider shoulders, perhaps longer torsos, wider waists, narrower hips. So there's lots of just very basic differences that mean that anything that exists currently isn't really a great fit. And so as a trans woman or gender non-binary woman, you're making do with what exists. And so I was thinking, you know, no one should really make do with what exists, because lingerie is the first thing we put on every day. You know, whatever that lingerie is, it is the first thing that goes on every day. So really, if you start with something that isn't fitting you properly, that's not great for everything that goes on top. It's not great for the rest of the day. And I just thought, you know, everyone deserves to have lingerie that fit them. So that was kind of where we started. So we realized that we would have to create the fits. We've worked on the base size with my friend and business partner, Wynn, who you've seen her in photographs, and she is ridiculous. And so we've worked on creating a base size around her, and then we will scale it up and scale it down. And we will be working within the community to do that, to measure as many women as we can, fit as many as we can, and also listen to their issues around fit at the moment and how we can sort of better it. So that was the plan for last year, which we were supposed to be starting in March. And then everything went a little bit crazy. However, I have to say, even though COVID-19, it just was a nightmare, obviously, and continues to be, but it gave us time to really look at this and think, because we couldn't hold fit sessions. We couldn't do anything. We had some samples that we couldn't even look at. I sent them to Wynn. She tried them on Skype. But we couldn't actually do anything really with them. So during all this time, I thought, you know, why not? There's nothing out there. So why not do this sizing for clothing for the whole of the industry? So it's not just lingerie. It would cover everything. So I contacted the BSI, the British Standards Institute, and they this sizing standard doesn't exist anywhere globally. And so that's what I'm now working on developing. So yeah, so it gave us time to really look at this and think, how do we make the best of this and make something that's hopefully a global standard eventually?
So that's not just lingerie. Yes. That's clothes.
Yeah, it would be.
All clothes.
Hopefully it will cover everything. There are standards that exist at the moment for sizing. So obviously in the UK, you know, 8, 10, 12, etc. So it would be a way of working a new sizing scale and a new standard based on measurements and fittings. taken with focus groups.
And would that include things like shoes?
I think shoes are very different, and it's not something, I mean, eventually, hopefully, it would. But at the moment, I think lingerie and clothing, I have a lot of experience in. I have a lot of experience in shoes for myself, but I don't think that counts. So I think, you know, it's sticking to the areas that you know, and that I can draw technical people from those industries to work with me on developing this.
So you were looking for a grant or funding, some kind of financial support to create a whole sizing system.
Yeah.
Is massive and I imagine costly. So you went for funding, and how did that go?
I'm applying for everything that comes up. I think been knocked back 3 times now. And one of the times I got very close, like quite far down the line. I was talking with the people who were organizing the awards and everything, and you know, they were very excited about it. And then when it went to their committee, they said there's no need for this because gender neutral sizing already exists. And then other government funds that I've applied for, they've basically said the same thing, which is ridiculous because it's so gender specific. What I'm trying to do is so far from gender neutral. So that's the difficulty in trying to get that across. I've got an application in at the moment, which I've taken everything they've said in the past rejections and turned it around and put it back into this one. But we won't hear about that for a few months. So I will keep applying and trying to get money. I think it is an important area. The BSI have been amazing, and they've sort of got behind this now and said it is an important thing. So hopefully someone on the committee will look at that and say, oh, maybe it is a real thing. So in the meantime, because we kept getting knocked back, I was determined that this had to happen. So with Wyn and another really close friend, we set up a non-profit company to start trying to raise funds and raise awareness really of what we're doing. So hopefully, you know, we'll keep building on that and we'll be able to do some of the research ourselves whilst we're still applying for funding.
So with the campaign, you're doing the research, you're creating the system. Who and how are you reaching?
Well, within the lingerie industry, which is obviously where I'm starting from and it's where I have the most sort of relationships, the people that we're working with, the technical team that we're working with, Inspire Intimates, are just incredible and so supportive. And, you know, they're trying to do everything they possibly can to help me get this off the ground. I'm speaking with people within the industry about getting behind this, backing it, either funding part of it or, you know, just saying this is important so that their followers and their sort of social media outreach, so that their people see it and go, oh, wow, this is interesting. So I'm really speaking with people in the industry to try and build on the profile and get visibility. There's a couple, I can't say who they are at the moment because we haven't signed anything or finalized anything with them, but there's a couple of real industry giants in the lingerie industry that I'm speaking to, one of whom is very interested, and you know, we're talking about collaborations for the future. So hopefully some of that will come off.
Some of the pushback that you have received in trying to get funding and that kind of thing, is that part of a bigger picture of discrimination, of lack of inclusivity? Can you paint a picture of what that world is and why it's not automatically just thought of as, yep, that's a good idea?
This huge group of people, ever growing by the day, group of people. I mean, I think there's a lack of understanding around it. There's definitely a lack of awareness. I think there is discrimination. I'm sure there is discrimination to a certain extent. I think more than that, it's a lack of awareness and people thinking, I don't understand. I mean, when I read back some of the feedback I have had on the applications, everyone almost has said, well, I never even considered that this was a thing. Like, you know, why is this, why doesn't it exist, or why does it need to exist? You know, it's not something that people think about unless you're really thinking about that all the time. I guess you just don't even, it doesn't cross your mind. I think one of the really difficult things is, and Wyn and I have this conversation all the time, that during June, everyone throws a rainbow flag outside their shop, outside wherever, you know, whoever they are, huge, small, whoever they are, and everyone's got rainbow things and everyone's loving Pride, and then that's it. It's, you know, after July 1st, it's done, Pride is done. And so this is a really tangible way that industry, the fashion industry, can get behind something and really support a community. And, you know, they're happy to put out a flag and say they do and put it on their products and say they do. But, you know, how many of them do? I'm sure they do. And I'm sure they donate to lots of charities, LGBT charities and things. But this would be a very tangible way to say we're behind this and we believe in this and we sell clothes, we sell lingerie. So we want to sell, we want this customer to have the best possible fit they can have. So I'm trying that. I'm getting a few doors closed in my face on that front as well. But we'll just keep going, you know, we will keep going and we'll keep making enough noise about it until someone has to take notice.
And the transgender community, I mean, there are people who are happy to be open about what they wear and what they do and who they are. There are people who feel that they have to be more secretive because society can be quite harsh. And there are young people who are discovering who they might be and dipping their toe into that water. They have families around them who also need to understand what that transition is about. So by creating a world where it's just part and parcel of the, you know, starting with sizing, that starts the change in how people are accepting and inclusive.
I mean, obviously there are challenges and lots of people are unaccepting, and I'm sure people hide, you know, they have to hide their identity because they're afraid of what people would say, do, think if their identity was known. But I can't really speak to how to their personal journeys, because that's not my journey. I mean, I really just think that being able to buy clothes in a size that fits you is just, you know, it's basic. It's like a basic human right. You should be able to wear something that fits you. And it's such a very everyday thing. We all put on clothes every single day. We all look at sizes of clothes. You know, it's something that everyone knows about, everyone looks at, everyone's aware of. So if we can just continue that for this community, then it does normalize a lot, you know, and it brings everything into the mainstream, I guess. I just want to make life easier, I suppose, and this just seemed like ridiculous that this doesn't exist.
You know, you kind of take it for granted that you can find something that fits you, that makes you feel good, and when you do, you feel more confident. You know, I was talking to someone the other day who works as a Tesco's driver, and he's incredibly tall, huge, and they were all handed out uniform, and he couldn't fit into the uniform. They didn't have his size, and so he kept being hauled into the manager's office and saying, well, why aren't you wearing your uniform? And he said, well, because it doesn't fit and you haven't given me the size that fits me. I'm really, really tall and your stuff is really short.
But just not long enough. Yeah.
And they kept hauling him in and he kept being in trouble. And so one day he did come in wearing the uniform that he'd given him, and the trousers were halfway up his shins and the shirt didn't do up, and they, you know, the sleeves came up halfway up his arms. And it was by, you know, he was the sort of confident person that he could walk in and say, this is how ridiculous I look. Are you really wanting me to go out and represent your company looking like this? And it took that for them to say, okay, well, you don't have to wear a uniform. I mean, we'll get uniform that fits you. Yeah. And I was talking to one of my guests a few weeks ago, who was a sculptor. And, you know, as sculptors, you know, as women sculptors, we tend not to be catered for in terms of our, you know, protective gloves, protective boiler suits, everything is too big. And so that's actually dangerous because it gets caught in machinery. And, you know, so these problems, clothing that fits is not just a kind of, oh, well, you know, that's something that, yeah, it should, but, you know, it's not that important. Mm-hmm. It is really important. It's not important just in terms of safety, in terms of looking right, feeling right, but it's part of who we are. It matters that it fits. And that's the same for everyone, isn't it?
When I've spoken with someone at the BSI, and she was actually talking a lot about a lot of their standards around safety clothing are geared towards men. And so she was saying, you know, when it comes to things like building sites, you know, hard hats are really geared towards men's heads. Overalls are geared towards men. So all these things. And she said they are working on pushing through standards that create safety wear for women that actually works and fits. So, yeah, it exists throughout the whole day, doesn't it, really? Whatever you're doing, work, going out, everything, it exists, and clothing should fit you. You should be able to buy, you know, also in some cases it can be a health, it can cause problems if things don't fit you properly, if it's just the wrong shape for you, it can cause issues and problems, especially if you've had surgeries and things. So yeah, we just want to make sure that this exists, I guess, and just bring it, give it some visibility and shine a light on it. And hopefully then the industry will realize that there's a huge community out there who would be buying clothes in these sizes if they existed. And so it then hopefully opens up, you know, lots of new brands, lots of existing brands taking on new sizing.
And then it normalizes the idea that we aren't all the same shape. We aren't all the same size. And that needs to be catered for. And the broader the system of sizing, the more we all can find something to fit us.
And we should try and cater for as many people as we can, whether that's really tall people, you know, really short people, whatever the extreme is, to some degree, as many people as possible should be catered for. And so this just seems like an obvious thing that needs to happen, really, that this sizing exists.
So historically, what have transgender women done to find clothes that kind of somehow
there are lots of places that sell clothing for transgender women, for cross-dressing men. There are places that do this, and there are places that have specific sizing, their own sizing, so they'll say this is like a size 10, you know, a bit longer or whatever it is. I mean, I have a friend who's who cross-dresses, and he's 6'5", and he manages to buy clothes for in like the tall woman section at certain places. So you can do it, but there's no standard. So it's everything really is kind of a best guess, I suppose. A lot of people I know who are cross-dressers will buy things online because they can't really go in as a guy, go into a shop and try on women's clothing. Well, they could, but I don't think, you know, it's frowned upon, I suppose. So they buy a lot online. So that's, you're guessing at what's going to fit you. As a trans woman, obviously, you can go in and try things on, but still, it's a guess as to whether certain things are going to fit you.
And if you, as a trans woman, going into a shop and all the sizes are there, all the sizes, then...
Yeah, it's just there, isn't it? It's just another size. I don't think it should be like have a big T on it, or, you know, it's just a size. It will just be hopefully another size that's in the sizing standard.
So how you call the sizing, so at the moment it's the kind of numbers and letters. How do you create a new system? Because another guest, he's an Indian musician, and he plays the tabla, and which traditionally the music isn't written down, it's sort of passed on from musician to musician. So he decided, in order to go into schools and teach children, he had to create a notation system, something that could be written down that then the kids could read that and then translate that music onto what they were playing. So in a way, you're creating a new notation system, aren't you? Do you use the numbers and letters that are as they are, or do you create something that's
I suppose we will try to use what exists as far as possible, so that it kind of fits in with what's already out there. This is why it's important that we're able to hold focus groups and really speak to the community as a whole, you know, from all angles of the community who would be wearing these garments and looking at these sizes, and just really work out what would be the best way to do it. And that's what we're focusing on this year, is just really trying to understand the best way of doing this, making it easy and just making it part of everyday life.
Because it's not just about sizing, is it? It's shape. So I think jeans are a really good case in point. So you say, oh, well, you know, we're talking with mates and you go, oh, yeah, that shop that those jeans really don't fit me. Yeah. They ride up too high. Or another one that's like, oh, no, I don't like their jeans because the thighs are too thin or too narrow. Or another one was just like, oh, no, it just kind of bulges out in all the wrong places. So you start to, so even with standard sizes, you sort of get to know
work for
which
you,
brands create the right shapes for you. So that's kind of, that's a kind of a nuance, isn't it?
Well, I suppose that will just happen with whoever takes up the standard and creates their clothing in these sizes. I mean, you know yourself, if you walked down Oxford Street and bought something in every shop, everything would fit you completely differently, you know, in the same size. It would be different.
Yeah, because like some brands, you go, you really like them because they make you a size smaller than
and then
than
others
you are.
Like, I'm not buying that again. I like that size.
They're not telling me on that size, no way.
There's no real standard size, is there? Because you are a different size really everywhere you shop on the whole. So I think what we are really trying to do is create the baseline. So it's like, you know, these are the measurements that make up this size 8, this size, if we go with that sizing. So these are the measurements that make up this. These are the measurements that make up this. This is a grading rule. This is how you go from this size to this size. And then I guess brands and stores and whoever's making the clothing and the patterns will then decide on how that fits within their system. And, you know, so you still probably won't be the same size anywhere else, but at least it will have hips in it that are meant for your hips, and a waist that, you know, and a torso. I think body length is a very big thing. I know with Wynn, she's, you know, she's tiny. She's probably a size 10, but she sometimes has to buy things in a size 16. So that it's tall enough for her. She won't mind me saying that, I'm sure she'll.
Yes, and then it's kind of voluminous, isn't it?
But you want it to fit you, and you want to be able to stand up and not bend over.
Yeah, I have that problem with swimming costumes. I've got a very long body, so.
But they're really high. You know,
they're kind of the elastic and they're kind of pulled.
Yeah. So I think we're creating a framework, and then everyone will do with it whatever they do with the sizing standards that already exist.
Because I think that the brands that cater for very long bodies or very short, they tend to be more boring. So it's like, you know, it's like the designers tend to kind of stick within this kind of narrow band and don't extend the kind of exciting, the interesting stuff to sort of either end of that band. And that must be a problem because it's, you know, you don't want to be wearing boring stuff because you're a different shape or a different length.
I mean, it's difficult. Of course, it's very difficult because people are up against production minimums and things like that. So, you know, especially for small brands, it's very difficult to cater to everyone. So I think people do niche themselves a bit and they cater to a particular area of the market. But you're right. Anything that you see that is for tall women or anything like that, it's usually quite mumsy and quite boring and probably not what you would want to wear as a fabulous tall 6 foot.
And I think going back to jeans again, you know, they have in more recent times brought out different lengths. So you can have a regular length and a long length. And so that started to kind of create sort of a variety within a size.
Yeah, and no one questions that, do they? It's just that, like, you know, I'm this regular, this is lot. You know, no one questions it. It's just there. So it's entirely possible.
Yeah. And that was not there from the beginning, was it?
I don't think so. It just appeared. It just seemed to appear one day that you could buy things in long, regular.
Yeah, because it definitely wasn't when I was a teenager, because I spent most of my time at my sewing machine taking off like a foot of jeans off the bottom. So there definitely wasn't sizing for short people like me. No. But that shows that it's possible to bring nuance into size.
Yes, yeah. And that people are willing to accept those nuances.
You know, you're pushing the envelope on something here. You're saying this, there's a need, it's not being met, it is possible to meet it, we're going to do it, we're going to raise awareness around it, and we're going to campaign for it to happen so that it becomes an accepted and normal part of clothing design. But that's not easy. That takes courage to push things beyond what exists and what is accepted. So I wonder how you define courage.
I think courage in this sort of terming, in doing something new and what we're doing, if you believe in something, then just don't give up and keep pushing and keep shouting about it, and eventually someone will listen to you. And if you believe it's the right thing to do, which I wholeheartedly believe this is the right thing to do, this last year has been really difficult, and obviously all the plans that I'd made haven't happened, but I've never once thought I shouldn't be doing it. I've never thought, oh, I won't do that, I'll go get a job and not do that. Meanwhile, I am having to have different jobs to fund everything I'm doing to try and keep this going. So but I think don't give up. If you believe in something, always try and push it through. And if you can laugh along the way, that's good.
Yeah, that helps, doesn't
it? Yeah, definitely.
Sometimes we just gotta laugh, because otherwise we'll be crying.
It's all you can do sometimes, isn't it?
I think there's been a lot of that in the last 12 months, hasn't there?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Oh dear. So obviously you are a brave new girl.
Thank you.
So who would you say is another brave new girl that we could interview?
Well, I am very lucky to have lots of brave new girls in my life, and I could give you a list of 10 probably. But I think Wynne Austin, who I am working with on the lingerie brand Miss A London and on the sizing standard, which is called My Size. So I think Wynne would be incredible. She's got a great story. She's got lots of anecdotes, and she'd be amazing to talk to. And she's a brave girl, definitely.
She looks amazing. I saw a photograph the other day and she's like, wow.
Yeah, she's gorgeous. She's ridiculous.
Phenomenal. Yeah. So yes, please, yes, she would be fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah.
So thanks, Bok, for understanding a need for an entire community and for creating a whole sizing system so that transgender population can dress in a way that suits and fits their body shape. I imagine this is long awaited and much appreciated.
I hope so.
So thank you. Keep going. Keep pushing that envelope. And I can't wait to see the fruits of your labour.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks, Bok. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you for having me.
Cheers. Take care.
Bye.
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 Thank you so much, Bok, for having the courage to take on the status quo and not take no for an answer. It shows us that anything is possible if you have the vision and determination. You can find out more about Bok and Wynn's campaign at www.mysize.org.uk and follow them on Instagram at mysizecic. Thanks also to Podstar PR for producing the series, and to you, our tribe, for listening. Download, rate and review on your podcast provider so that we can keep bringing you this free podcast. Goodbye for now, and see you next time.